Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
He is currently the head football coach of the University of Michigan Wolverines and a former player. His dad and brother are also former players and coaches, but there is more to them than just football. It's time to talk about attacking life each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. This is Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast with Jim Harbaugh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast. Ira Weintraub here, along with coaches Jim and Jack Harbaugh. Our director of recruiting, Matt Dudek, is here. Our producer, McKenzie, is here as well. As we get you ready for the Citrus Bowl, we will hear from Jordan Glasgow and Quiddy Pay. And as always, we wrap up with Jack Talk here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast. A reminder, subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. You can listen via the Podcast One app or on PodcastOne.com. And please follow us and contact us on Twitter at AED Podcast or using hashtag Jack Talk.
We're joined on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, by number 29 from Aurora, Illinois, Jordan Glasgow. Jordan, the Roger Zatkoff Award winner, the Blue Collar Award winner. Congratulations on a terrific career with, of course, one game to go and a terrific Michigan legacy that you have helped continue with the family and on your own as well.
Thank you very much.
So take us back. Tell us the story a little bit. How did you end up? We know that your brothers were here before you, but you know, you had options for what you wanted to do with college, to play football, et cetera. So how did you, Jordan Glasgow, end up here at the University of Michigan?
Yeah, so originally, you know, my parents stress academics, you know, quite heavily. So originally I was looking to go somewhere in the Ivy League, but, you know, that didn't end up panning out. So I was thinking about, you know, I was getting talked to by a few MAC schools, by Western Michigan, by NIU, and I was probably going to end up going to Western Michigan, but you know, Michigan called me, one of the coaches called me and said, hey, you want to come here? And I was like, okay, just give me a day to think about it. Called him the next day and said, yeah, I would love to come to Michigan. You know, it wasn't necessarily preordained that I would come here when both of my brothers came here, but you know, when I got the opportunity, you know, I didn't want to let it pass me by.
For me personally, just being here over these last 5 years, Jordan, fantastic story. And I'm not only what the accomplishments that you've made over these last, but a family, the Glasgow family, to see the story of three brothers, one after the other, here at the University of Michigan, and the fantastic contributions you've made to this, the family has made to this university. Take us back, though. You're about 7, 8 years old. You got these two big brothers, and you're in the living room, and you're rolling on the floor and bouncing off the couch.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't have a lot of memories from back then. You know, a lot of them might be repressed. Who knows? But I could remember them ganging up on me when they weren't fighting with each other. You know, I was kind of a crybaby. I would instigate things. I'd get hit, and then I'd go to my mom or my dad. They could probably tell you a lot more things than me, but you know, I can remember some times where I was getting held down by one and punched by the other, and you know,
they were ganging up on the youngest and the smallest.
And the smallest, yeah. I mean, even now, you know, I have a pretty large deficit in terms of height and weight, so if they ganged up on me now, it'd probably be the same result as back then, sadly. But, you know, I'm grateful for, you know, how I grew up with my brothers, and, you know, it made me who I am, as they say, it made me a lot tougher, which, you know, might be an excuse to, you know, beat me up every once in a while, but you know, it worked out.
Did you get locked into closets and locked into rooms and they had to come find you? Parents had to come find
you?
Yeah,
we had we would stay at a place and there would be, it was like a unfinished basement. And so you would go down there for whatever reason. And every once in a while, you know, we would run up the stairs, lock the door because it would lock on the outside and turn off the lights. And so you'd kind of be fumbling in the basement in the dark, not really knowing what's going on, kind of scared, like slamming on the door to get let out. So that was something that would happen.
What's the difference in the ages? How far apart are you from your older brothers?
So my oldest brother Graham is 4 years older than me. He went he was a freshman in college when I was a freshman in high school, and Ryan is 1 year younger than him, so he was a senior in high school when I was a freshman in high school, and I was able to spend half a year with my oldest, with Graham at the University of Michigan as he finished his fifth year, and I was able to spend a year and a half with Ryan as he finished up his redshirt junior and redshirt senior.
Now, as they went out and played in the neighborhood, did you kind of tag along with them and get involved with some of their friends at the, at that, at a higher level?
Yeah, I mean, we would play, you know, some football in the backyard. We'd do some stuff, but you know, we had like our own things going. You know, I was a little too young to kind of roll with their crowd, I feel like, but you know, when we were young enough to kind of go in the yard and play with the neighborhood kids, you know, we did that. I was hanging out. I was playing football with kids, you know, a few years older than me.
Now, as you're talking to Dad, talking to Mom, and you know, coming to the University of Michigan, what kind of advice did they give you about you know, following your brothers and playing football and the academic end of it?
I mean, they've always stressed, you know, football is temporary and, you know, academics are far more important. And I felt like I took that to heart, especially early on in my academic and athletic career at the University of Michigan. I mean, you know, I've already graduated and this is my last season of football. I focused a lot more on athletics than I have in the past in terms of balancing the balance of academics and athletics. And I don't know. I've learned from my brother's mistakes. You know, that's one of the good things about being a younger brother. You get an understanding of how to go about things, especially, you know, coming into the same program and the same school. You understand, you know, what's important and what you need to do to succeed.
How about academics? What is your major and what do you want to do with that degree?
I graduated from the Ross School of Business last year as a senior, and currently I'm in a graduate program, the Real Estate Development Certificate Program, which I don't think I'm going to be able to finish, as I'm most likely going to leave to go train after the bowl game. And in terms of what I want to do with that, with my degree, I would like to, after football, I would like to go and work somewhere in real estate in New York or, you know, maybe in California, something like that. Go somewhere, you know, a little different than where I've been, you know, recently, which is the Midwest.
Well, there's a football career out there for you.
Yeah.
You know, being around Jim when he was in San Francisco, being around John with the Ravens, there's a place for you on 32 football teams roster, a significant place where you can be very productive and play many years. Mm-hmm. Fun to watch you play.
So let's go back to, you talked about how you were going through the decision process and eventually you chose to come to Michigan. And here you are as you're in your last year. I mentioned some of the things that you've accomplished this year. Also a Butkus Award semifinalist as one of the top 12 linebackers in America. Are these things that, like, can you go back to, like, you know, 18-year-old or 17-year-old Jordan? Can you imagine these are some of the things that you were able to accomplish?
Yeah, so going throughout high school, you know, I didn't think I was necessarily I wasn't a very good football player relative to a lot of the kids coming out of high school. I feel like I wasn't the best kid on my high school team. The best person on our team went to Western Michigan as an offensive lineman. And, you know, I came to Michigan and I was like, okay, like, I think I can contribute. And then my freshman year, I was just like, yeah, these guys are a lot better than me. So it was difficult to realize, but I mean, early on, I understood that, you know, I had a lot of ground to make up in terms of, you know, athletic and, you know, athletic skill versus, you know, everyone else that came in. So I think that understanding that and understanding what I needed to do to, you know, make up that ground allowed me to be where I am today.
How about the Don Brown system of football? How is that? How have you grown in that?
I mean, you know, I've been in it for the last 4 years at varying positions. I understand it very well, and he does a very good job coaching players. And, you know, I've become a much better player just because of his coaching in terms of he stresses technique. Like, technique is extremely important in all that you do. And, I mean, you know, I might be seen as a smaller or slower linebacker you know, in some people's eyes, but because of, you know, Coach Brown's teaching and technique and understanding of our system, you know, I'm able to make up for that.
There has to be at least three or four different positions you play. You play an inside linebacker, you play an outside linebacker, you're out in coverage in the secondary, you know, covering wide receivers. Yeah. You're blitzing off the edges. You're in short yardage situations. I mean, you're in the B gap. I mean, yeah. You know, taking on the quarterback sneak and things like that. The multitude of positions you've played, it has to be so exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah, I mean, the first few years I was here as a safety, I got a few reps at that. In game, I played the Viper, which is the outside linebacker position that Kalik plays. I played in a few games at that as well. And, you know, now I'm the Will. And all of those have, you know, you hear it talked about how, you know, slow safeties will become fast linebackers and stuff like that. And I guess it's most true in my situation. You know, I was a pretty slow safety, and I got moved to outside linebacker, and then I got moved to an inside linebacker. So, you know, my progression going from that, and, you know, being able to understand, you know, the back part of our defense, and, you know, being able to go through that situation, I feel it gives me just a better understanding of our defense as a whole and allows me to play a lot faster.
How many special teams do you play on?
Currently, I only play on one, but, you know, it's sad to think that, you know, where I've made my living for, you know, 3 years, I'm not really as big of a part of it anymore, but I guess that's just, you know, one of the things that comes with a larger role on defense.
Over your career here, how many special teams did you play on?
Yeah, I mean, I played on, you know, the four main phases, so the punt return, punt, kickoff return.
I know in the pros, Ira, the thing is there's a core of players, about seven players, eight players on an NFL roster that are core special team guys. They're on all the special teams. They have a chance to play 29, 30, 32 plays. Some of special teams players play actually more plays than what an offensive or a defensive line, except for the offensive linemen. They play about every play, but there's a tremendous, tremendous opportunity for you at that level, and I'm sure you've talked to your brothers about that and have a real understanding of that. Mm-hmm. Have you after the bowl game, any games that you're playing in or anything that you're going to be able to do to prepare yourself for that next level?
Yeah, I'm going to be playing in the Shrine Bowl, and, you know, I look forward to that opportunity to – and I'm going to be with a lot of other Michigan players, and I think it's going to be a really fun experience.
That's one out on the coast, out on the West Coast, or is that, where is that played now? Do you know?
I know it used to be in San Francisco.
That was one of the great postseason classics was the Shrine Bowl.
Yeah. I think it's
out in San Francisco.
I think the NFLPA is out in San Francisco.
Oh, it's now in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Yeah, I was.
So you're right, Jack. It is on a coast.
Yeah,
I thought it was in Florida. I just didn't want to get it wrong. But yeah, I mean, I look forward to. Obviously, you know, the most important thing is the next game or bowl game, and then, you know, after that, I'll start thinking about everything that comes after it. But I mean, I look forward to the journey that's ahead.
I know I'm talking here way too much, Ira, but this one other question. You talk about your dad and mom, but especially, you know, father, being a father, you're making this journey. Is there a time and a place where he gave you some piece of advice or something that's carried with you and has kind of shaped you as the young man you are?
Yeah, I mean, my dad is I go to him for advice by far the most out of anyone, even combined. Probably I go to him more than anyone else in my life for advice or for help. You know, he was a two-sport college athlete, and he went to a very academically demanding school. You know, he understands the struggle that, you know, I would go through as a student athlete. And, you know, something that he told me a year or 2 years ago was, you know, you're never going to be happy when you try and achieve perfection because you're never going to achieve it. And he said that's something that he feels that I embody. And that's something that, you know, I was having a difficult time. You know, I wasn't happy where I was, in terms of athletics. And he said, you know, you're not going to be happy as long as you're chasing perfection. And I was like, okay, that's very true. So, you know, you just gotta kind of buckle down, and you gotta understand that, you know, if you demand perfection out of yourself, you're never really going to be satisfied.
It kind of falls in line with one of the things that Coach Harbaugh talks about, and we talk about in our family. It's really a journey, one day at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, better today than yesterday, better tomorrow than today, and you know, perfection is out there, but just 1% better every day, moving toward it. As your dad said, you'll never reach it, but you can move toward it every single day.
Yeah.
So a tremendous career that, of course, is not quite done yet, but a tremendous career for Jordan Glasgow and the Maize and Blue. And kind of want to circle back to where we started when we mentioned that you were the Roger Zatkoff Award winner as the program's top linebacker. You were also voted by your teammates as the Blue Collar Award winner. So at the awards ceremony, when your name gets called first for the Roger Zatkoff, you're on a team. I remember taking a note during this going, some years you just know who's gonna win the best lineman or the best linebacker or the best. And other years you're like, wow, there's like four guys that could all win this. So when they call your name over Uche and McGrone and Kalik, what does it mean to you to know that you have stood out and that your name is going to be on that wall for years to come?
Yeah, I mean, it was really nice to hear. I mean, I saw my brother's names up there, you know, for the last 4 years, and you know, I really wanted to see my name up there in some way, and I'm glad I was able to kind of reach their level in that case. It's a little disheartening to know that I play with such talented and promising people, and you know, I wanted to share that award with Kalik, and that was, you know, my ideal situation. You know, I didn't want to win it by myself. I wanted to see you know, my teammate who Kalik had like 97 tackles. He had a great year. I wanted to see him recognized in the same way. And, you know, Cam will probably win it the next however many years he wants to play here. So, obviously, he's an extremely promising person. I mean, it was really nice that the coaches felt that I deserved that honor. But, I mean, I wanted to see everyone else honored as well. You know, I play with a great group of guys and a very talented group of guys, and I just want everyone to be recognized as so.
Sounds like you have a very close-knit room. That linebacker room is a pretty close-knit group of guys.
Yeah.
What makes that group special besides the talent that we see on the field? You guys are in that room together. What makes it so special?
I mean, you know, a lot of us have been there for multiple years, and, you know, we accept people when they come in. We're not, you know, we see everyone as, I mean, once you go through a spring ball here, you've kind of been through the fire, and, you know, you're accepted. You're one of us. So, I mean, I think we're just very accepting. We have a great, you know, we have high character guys. I think everyone that comes in, you know, they recruit very well, and everyone just gets along.
I also want to ask you about winning the Blue Collar Award. That one voted by your teammates. It's a really cool award because it means you work hard. It means your teammates recognize what you're doing. So when you win that award, your name is called, the teammates are hooting and hollering for you. What were your feelings at that point?
That was nice. I mean, to be recognized by both the coaches and the players, my teammates and my peers in some capacity was awesome. And I mean, like that, I mean, there are other players who work very hard, and I wish that they were recognized as well, but to have my name singled out felt amazing.
The consummate, the team guy right here, Jack.
Well, the one thing I would suggest here as we wind this down is the Glasgow family. There should be a book written, and I mean that sincerely. All the years that I've been in coaching and followed this thing, I mean, what a fantastic example of youngsters and mentoring on the part of the parents and the place that they've allowed their youngsters to move into. I mean, a book. There's a book out there.
And you have a sister at home, right, too?
I have a younger sister who's currently in college at the University of Indiana.
So how was it like for her with three older brothers?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure, and I don't know if I'd want to know, but, you know, I'm sure she had a tough time growing up. And, you know, she's not necessarily the athletic type of person. And, you know, so things were definitely different for her, especially going to college, being a normal student. But I don't know. I'm sure she's doing okay.
Was she the youngest?
Yeah, she's
the youngest. Of the four?
Yeah.
I know it wasn't ours. We had John and Jim were 14 months apart. Mm-hmm. And then Joni, sister Joni, came 5 years later.
Yeah.
And so all we ever heard around the house was how easy it was for her, how we always mm-hmm. she was special, and she didn't have to go through the rigors that the two boys had suffered.
Yeah. That's what my brothers say about me. You know, I got a lot of stuff a lot easier than them. You know, I didn't have to do piano lessons because they wore my parents out pretty well with that. And, you know, just a lot of other stuff that they had to kind of work for, you know, I got a lot easier. But, I mean, that's just one of the advantages of being a younger brother,
I
guess.
There you go.
All right, before we let you go, your thoughts on the matchup with Alabama?
I mean, they're going to be a great team. They are a great team. They have a great receiving core in terms of their offense. They have great running backs, a great offensive line, and, you know, a quarterback who's doing very well. So it's going to be a tough matchup, but I think that we're preparing. We're doing what we need to do to get ready, and I think we're going to be ready for the challenge that they provide.
Is that exciting for you and the outgoing guys that your last game in a Michigan uniform is, not that any bowl game wouldn't be special, but it's against Alabama?
Yeah, Alabama has had a lot of success in, you know, the recent past, the last 10 years, and it's an opportunity to really show what we've got against a team that, you know, has been, for the last decade, touted as one of the best teams in college football.
Jordan, appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
Hello, this is Jim Harbaugh from the AED Podcast, telling you that when my wife shops for jewelry, she goes to Lewis Jewelers.
Lewis Jewelers, been in Ann Arbor 3 generations. David, the owner, great guy. Designer watches, designer jewelry, like tag watches. Did you ever get a watch, Coach?
No, my wife doesn't shop for me at Lewis Jewelers. She shops for herself.
And I would imagine because it is no commission, very informal. You walk in, they're not tuxedos and ball gowns where they're trying to jam something down your throat. Sarah gets to walk in, look around. They help her. They're very accommodating. Keith and Lucinda, awesome there. But maybe next time we can give Sarah a nudge and maybe you can get yourself a new watch.
She does like to shop. Lewis Jewelers is great for Sarah. And they're a proud sponsor of the AED Podcast.
Absolutely. And they're very big supporters of Michigan. You know who else shops at Lewis Jewelers? Your assistant, Deanna. She loves going over there. Very knowledgeable. She's got a beautiful pair of earrings a couple weeks ago.
You know who else shops at Lewis Jewelers?
Who's that?
Matt Dudek.
Absolutely.
Bought his wife, Lindsay, a very nice pair of earrings. $5,000 is the rumor. And also Ira has his wedding ring from Lewis Jewelers.
Yeah, my wedding ring, my wife's wedding band, her engagement ring. My wife has a Movado watch that we got at Lewis Jewelers. They're online at lewisjewelers.com.
Lewis Jewelers, proud supporter of the AED Podcast at Michigan Athletics. Go Blue.
Coming up next, Quiddy Pay here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast.
You're listening to Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast.
Now joining us on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's Podcast, junior defensive end Quiddy Pay.
First time Quiddy Pay's name ever flashed before me was back four or five years ago. We were in Baltimore, and the Ravens were playing a playoff game in New England against the Patriots. So John talked to Jackie, Mom, and myself into flying on the team plane to New England for the game. It was a cold, cold day. The wind was blowing, and the snow was on the ground. And we landed in Providence, if I remember.
Yep.
We went to the hotel there, and the night before the game, they had a mass. And they invited a priest from one of the schools in Providence to come down and say the mass, and did a fantastic job. And after it was over, I went up and told him, I said, you know, Michigan's recruiting a young man from Providence. I think it's one of the schools here. And he said, would it be Quiddy Pay? And I said, I'm not sure. They're recruiting him as a defensive
Bishop
end.
Hendrickson?
Yes, sir. He says, and then he went on and just could not
the
say.
The priest was from Bishop Hendrickson.
Exactly.
All right.
And he couldn't say enough. Once he got started on Quiddy, it was let me tell you this and this. And this went on and on. I never met Quiddy, but I couldn't wait to meet him because the image of this guy was unbelievable. And And then we went to the game the next day. It was a night game, and we lost. The Ravens lost, but now having been here with you over these last 3 years, everything that Father said about you on that night has come to pass, and is very, very true.
He's been a great guy and a great player. Teammates love him. Coaches love him. And we could really start reading all the stats here. I mean, he's had an amazing career already in just 3 years. One of our favorite players, Quiddy Pay. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Jack Harbaugh can really tell a story, can't he?
Yeah.
You are an eloquent storyteller, Dad.
It's all true. I mean, it's just exactly right. And the other thing I found out today, just here in preparing for the show, running back. I did not realize that Quiddy was a running back in high school.
Yes, sir. Thought I was the next Brandon Jacobs when I was younger.
Is that right?
Yeah, because everyone said I was too big to play halfback when I was younger. So I used to think I was him, you know, big back, you know, taking into the end zone.
Yeah. You were about, if I remember, coming out of high school, what were you, maybe 215, 220, 225?
I was pushing like 230, 225, okay. Yeah.
And then very quickly, I mean, just got in the weight room and just over the next year, 16 months, you were up another 30 pounds, 40,
oh, yeah.
40 pounds.
Yeah, I think that winter after I came in, I just skyrocketed with my weight and then, just got after when Coach Herb and those guys got here.
Yeah. Well, he's an animal in the weight room and on the field.
And apparently in the classroom as well, two-time academic All Big Ten.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I like that. I like that that's at the top of the notes because student athlete. We like to highlight the student part of it as well.
Yeah.
So let's go back. You heard Jack talking a little bit about the words that he was given about you during the recruiting process. Yeah. When did Michigan first pop up on your radar? Take us to your side of the recruiting process.
So my recruiting process, I was committed to Boston College for a while, maybe like a year and change. And then when I committed, to Don Brown when he was at BC. And when he had left, I was kind of unsure like where things would go. And then when he came to Michigan, he got back in contact with me, and then he brought me down for my official visit. And that was when we played Wisconsin here, when JD had the one-handed pick game. And I came to that game, I just saw the whole crowd like going crazy and just the atmosphere. And I was just like, yeah, there's no way I can pass this up. So I think like 2 days later, I called Coach Harbaugh, and I said, yeah, I think I'm coming to Ann Arbor.
And it's been a great decision on both sides ever since. Coach Don Brown bringing some of those recruits this way. Definitely paying off here in Ann Arbor, Coach.
The one thing I've found, New England is a somewhat of a gold mine for us, isn't it? I mean, some of the players that I can't imagine. I can't think of a player that's come out of the New England area that hasn't made a significant contribution football-wise and athletic or academically. It's been a real, real blessing for us.
No doubt about it. The Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, we could go. Help me out here. I'm going to start throwing us some names out here. But you got
McCune.
Sean McCune.
Ben Mason.
Scooney.
Stuber.
Jack Stewart. Signed three yesterday.
That's
Massachusetts.
Right.
Khalil Mullins, Iman Dennis, and Zach Zinter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's more. There's
Cornelius
Johnson.
Mikey?
Mikey
Samristil, right out of Boston.
Get Mikey in there, right out of the downtown Boston.
I guess it kind of goes against stereotype, but you guys mine the talent across the country and find guys like Quiddy, bring him in. When you got here, obviously there was a pretty crowded defensive line room. What are some of the things that you learned from the guys ahead of you that prepared you to pick up the role that you had last year and then grow into what you turned into this year?
I think just patience, you know, and don't rush anything, you know, because Mo, his senior year, you know, he was having a pretty good year and stuff like that, but they never questioned the process. They just kept working and working until they got to where they are now. You know, so I felt like for me, when I first came in, I knew the D-line room was going to be crowded, and I knew that I was going to have some opportunity to compete. And I was kind of at the bottom of the depth chart when I first came in, but, you know, just kept my head down, you know. Never questioned anything, you know. I just took Coach Maddie's coaching and made sure, you know, just kept – I never tried to rush anything, you know, because for me, I'm a guy where, like, this is one quote from a song. I was like, can't see my vision with the naked eye. Never question anything, like God decide, you know. So I felt like that, like I never question anything. I just keep working, and what's meant to be will be. And I got a little bit of taste of the field my freshman year, and then from there just kept working and working and working, you know. So yeah.
What kind of a mentoring did you get from the older players that, you know, that time with Rashawn and Chase and some of those guys that were right ahead of you?
Yeah, I think their advice was just to take all the coaching, you know. Don't be a guy where, like, when you're getting coached, pout and, you know, put your head down and stuff like that. When you're getting coached in the meeting room, pick your chest up, you know, make sure you're watching film, make sure you're doing all the extra things to make sure that you're improving, because you never want to be in the same spot the very next day. So, you know, every day in camp I was looking for things to improve when I'd watch film, pick up like the smallest things to improve and focus on that every single day. So yeah, just making sure that you're a guy that's coachable.
And they give you that kind of support, the older fellas.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
It doesn't take long to go from one of those guys in a support role to one of those guys in a lead role in that room, and that's what you did this year. You and your partner, Aiden Hutchinson, named the Richard Catcher Award co-winners. What did that mean for you to be able to share that award with Aiden?
I think it was amazing, you know, just because a lot of people coming into the season question that role of, like, how will that Chase and Rashawn void be filled. I feel like me and Aiden fill that spot, you know, very well. I feel like we've been doing a tremendous job throughout the whole season. You know, I feel like we've helped the D-line a lot, you know, because Aiden makes sure that when he's watching film, he'll write some stuff down that'll help me on my side and the weak side, or he'll write some stuff down to help Carlo out that he sees and stuff like that. So, yeah, that flake's been huge.
And been really healthy, too. I mean, I can only think of one game you ever missed, the Illinois game this year. Yeah. You had the hamstring, and that's been it, right? I mean, yeah. You're at every practice, available for every game. It's just a real endurance that you have.
Yeah, if I can go, I'll go.
High drive. He's a very high drive guy. You know, he's a...
Tell us a little bit about the academics. Whereabouts are you? Your major and how you're doing in that particular area.
So I'm majoring in African American Studies, and then I'm doing my minor in Entrepreneurship, and then I'm doing the marketing sales track from Ross.
What academically down the road after football? What are your plans?
My dream has always been to go to the NFL. I feel like having the entrepreneurship and the sales and marketing background will help, you know, after football, you know, to be able to build my own businesses and stuff like that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
About coaching.
Yeah. Maybe some coaching in there, yeah. Yeah.
We try to promote the coaching.
You seem to push that. Speaking of coaching.
He'd be a great coach.
What would make him a great coach?
Just the way you've heard it, you've really heard, you know, what he's, just some of the advice and the leadership that he displays as a player, the knowledge of the game, and coming from the approach that, you know, he cares about other people, and he's played the game, he's got good advice to give. You can see it. You know, somebody that's been there and done it.
Standing off to the side and watching, not being in the meeting room, not being on the practice field, if the one word that jumps out as I sit here and look at Quitty is respect. Mm-hmm. The respect that the coaches have for him in the building. I mean, you hear the coaches talking. It's always at a high level of high respect for you as an individual football player, role model, and all those different – and your teammates, the way they respect you on the practice field, in the ball games. I mean, you can just see that feeling they have for you, and that's all earned. That's all earned. That's not given. Somebody just doesn't walk up and give it to you. You have to earn it over a period of time, and that word just keeps flashing before my eyes as I think about you and your career.
Yeah, always doing the right thing, and doesn't talk a lot, but when he does, everybody listens. Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of clout that you have in what you do by example. And then what you say, too, and, you know, bringing, not only doing it yourself, but, You know, he can see you over the last year. You're bringing other guys along too. You know, grabbing a guy and bringing him with you and going the extra mile like you're going. I mean, that's one guy, two guys, seven guys. I mean, that's he's already grown into a leadership position in his junior year.
I know I'm going off a little bit of a different track. Something you and I talked about the other day is, you know, going to the school in Providence. Tell us a little bit about that and the commute you had to make every day to get that school and the sacrifice that, your family, you know, made for the opportunity to experience that type of education and that type of an experience.
Yeah, so before even going to that school, there was a school down the street from my house called Classical High School, and my mom wanted me to go there just because it was so close and it was really good high school and it was free. But I told her, no, I couldn't go to the high school. I have to go to Bishop Hendricken. And I was, like, in eighth grade at the time. I was like, no, I can't. I can't go. I have to go to Hendricken. And she was just like, I don't know if I could afford it. You know, it's a little bit too much money. And then in eighth grade, I promised my mom. I said, if you send me to Hendricken, I promise you won't pay for college. Ever since then, you know, every morning, you know, waking up in the morning, it was tough because I wake up like five, six sometimes, walk a mile to my bus stop, take like a 40-minute bus ride to school every day, you know, get there super early. You know, classes were hard because I came from a smaller public school in Providence, and then when I got there, I was a little behind in the classroom. So, you know, just working hard in the classroom, making sure that I caught up to all the other kids. And, you know, it wasn't seen as a sacrifice to me, you know, when a lot of kids now say, like, oh, I don't want to do that because it doesn't seem fun. I don't want to do that because it seems like, oh, it's too hard. I just look and shake my head because, like, if you really want it, you know, you'd sacrifice everything to go get that, you know. And every time I felt discouraged, I felt like I didn't want to do it, I just remember that promise I had in the back of my head to my mom, you know, I have to keep working so I make sure she doesn't pay for college, you know. I felt like I've done a good job of, you know, making her happy and making sure that she's proud of her son.
Did she get a chance to watch you play? I know on television. Yeah,
every Saturday. She makes sure she watches the game, and my younger brothers make sure they turn the TV on. And
Now you have two older brothers. How many older?
I have one older brother and then three younger brothers.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And where are they all doing now? What grades are everybody in?
My older brother, he'll be a grad transfer. He's going to try and transfer somewhere to play. And then my younger brother, the 13-year-old, he's going into his freshman year next year at Hendricken. Mm-hmm. And then I have a 7-year-old brother and then a 4-year-old brother.
Wow.
Yeah, now the 13-year-old, he was in the sixth grade when I was over at the house, and we were working on
some math.
So we were working on math. Fortunately, it was long division.
Oh, my God.
And I was,
if it was anything over long division, I would not recommend that Jim fool around.
I knocked that one out of the park.
Yeah, he did.
Did you draw the little box and the whole
course,
deal?
Of course. Long division is, as you know, that's where I lost my excellence right after that. Thanks for pointing that out.
So I want to follow up. You promised your mom essentially that you know, if she sent you to school, that she wouldn't have to pay for college.
Yeah.
So as you start getting scholarship offers and you're in the high school and that process is now going on, what's that like for her as she's hearing you basically fulfilling your promise to her that she wasn't going to have to pay for college?
Yeah, she was super happy, you know. She was not really, like, she wasn't really too into it because, like, she just doesn't know too much about it. But, you know, when I would come home, I'd be like, Mom, I just got an offer from so-and-so. And he'd be like, oh, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. like, she didn't know, like, how big it was. But, you know, like, you know, just seeing a smile, like, on her face, you know, when she tells her friends about, like, how well her son is doing. Like, when her friends come up to her and be like, oh, I watched your son on TV last night and stuff like that, you know. It's great.
A couple more minutes with Quiddy Pay here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. And
you heading back on Monday?
Yeah. Yeah, heading back, yeah. It should be nice because my older brother is home now. I haven't
seen him.
Is
everybody going to be there?
Yeah. Everyone will be home.
Great.
It's there.
I wanted to ask you about since you've been here, you've had some really great experiences with the team. So away from football, away from even the classroom side of things, you guys have been taking trips and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
Talk about that, the whole experience that you've been able to have so far through 3 years here at U of M.
I think those trips are amazing, you know, going to Paris and then going to South Africa. You know, I feel like it's been amazing, you know, just take that team trip and get away from football in the classroom, like just to spend time with people that you see every day. I feel like, yeah, even like the coaches and stuff like that. So yeah, I feel like it's been huge. You know, Coach Harbaugh's given us the opportunity to, you know, go and see other places, experience other things that we probably wouldn't experience on our own.
What was your favorite part of the Africa trip?
The safari, for sure.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah, safari.
Me too.
I didn't care how early we had to wake up. I was making sure I was on that bus, on all the trips, you know, going to see the animals.
Well, Quiddy, keep up the great work in the classroom on the gridiron, and we appreciate your time here on the podcast.
So thank you for having me.
Big fan of yours.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Me too.
Coming up next, Jack Talk here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. If you love true crime podcasts, you've got to check out Copycat Killers, the latest podcast from Reels and Podcast One. These are the same guys who did Murder Made Me Famous, so if you love that, you're gonna love Copycat Killers. Every episode, they go behind the scenes of real-life murder cases, which copy memorable slang seen in Hollywood movies. You definitely need to check it out. Be sure to subscribe on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and many other podcast apps so you can get new episodes every Tuesday.
This is Jack Talk.
I want to listen. I want to be better. I want to be the best I can be.
Welcome to our team. The team.
Jack Talk.
As you get older, you get to be 78 years old. Here's what I find. Hair grows in places that it hadn't been before.
Welcome to hashtag Jack Talk.
It's now time for everybody's favorite segment of the week. Jack Talk here on Attack Each Day, the Harbaugh's podcast. What do you have for us?
Well, first of all, my two all-time favorite sports movies. Remember the Titans, Herman Boone as the head coach, number one.
Played by Denzel Washington.
Denzel Washington. And what was an assistant coach's name?
Bill Yost. Coach Yost.
Oh, yeah. Coach Yost.
Gave up being a Hall of Fame coach to call out an injustice by officials.
Make sure that the officiating was fair.
Ferry called him over and they said, Coach Yost, this is going to cost you getting into the Hall of Fame.
So and his daughter there was a good coach's daughter.
But
into the stats.
The passing of Herman Boone. I had a chance to meet him at the Orange Bowl here a few years ago, and what a gentleman and lost to us. And he was
great guy. He was. Remember we were down at the Orange Bowl getting ready to play against Florida State, and had gotten word that Herman Boone, Coach Boone, was in the area, and we got a hold of him. I don't know how I got his number, but called him up, invited him to practice, and came to practice, talked to our team, and you know, it was a movie that our team had watched already a couple times, so it was a big thrill to get to meet him in person.
And then I met him that night in a restaurant, and we got to talking, and I asked him, I said, Coach Boone, give me your favorite play. So sure enough, like all coaches, give me a pen, and he took a piece of paper, and he drew up what he called the Muddle Huddle. And I can't tell you, I got it at home now. It's in a frame where the ball was kicked off. The ball was kicked off, and then you had to return it in front of your bench. And the ball was downed in front of your bench, and then the offensive team muddled and huddled and came out, and then they had a quick screen pass the other way, and it's drawn on there. And then he's got Herman Boone, remember the Titans. But in thinking about him and his great contribution, picked this up today, and I'd like just to quote it because I think it's so appropriate for today. If we don't, remember, he took his team on a summer camp and they went to Gettysburg, and they trotted their team through Gettysburg and through the cemetery at night, a misty night, and then they stopped at a spot and he presented this speech, and at the end of the talk to his team, it went like this: if we don't come together right now on this hallowed ground, we will be destroyed just like they were. I don't care if you like each other right now, but you will respect each other, and maybe, I don't know, maybe we'll learn to play this game like men. And we've come a long way. We still have a longer way to go. And those words ring out today as true as they did then, and respect that and revere Herman Boone for what he's given our great game of football and what he's given our great game of life.
And it is one of the great sports movies of all time.
So many great lessons in the movie. And you, to live through that time, Ira, you know, there was this integration and schools coming together and the divisiveness within that. And for him to step up like that. And then Coach Yost as well. And they came together, and you could see how by being together and working for a common goal, how we can come together and how much stronger we are as not just a football team, but a community when we do come together.
There's only one bad part of that movie, Jack. It's right at the end when they're going through and they're saying where every Ronnie Bass goes to USC and whatever. Julius went to Ohio State. It disappoints me every time I watch the end of the movie.
There's another thing in there, too. At the time when this movie came out, I was at Western Kentucky. And one of their players, remember the big guy?
Yeah,
he went to
Army brat.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not Sunshine.
No. But he was also an Army. The big lineman guy.
Yeah.
He was also had moved.
He
around,
went
yeah.
to Austin Peay.
Yeah. Okay.
Which was an OVC team yeah. with Western Kentucky and Eastern Kentucky for a long time, and that kind of jumped out at me too. A competitor that went to another school.
You can contact us on Twitter at AED Podcast or by using hashtag Jack Talk. Follow us, favorite us, and subscribe to us on PodcastOne.com and the Podcast One app. Don't forget to rate us on iTunes. Thanks to Podcast One and our guests, Jordan Glasgow and Quiddy Pay. Happy New Year, everybody. Go Blue. Have a great week and keep attacking each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.